RadioMD.
RadioMD.com.
You've got questions. Melanie's got answers. This is Melanie Cole's Health Radio.
There are so many things in our lives that cause stress and worry today. We all feel it. Sometimes you just feel empty, or sometimes it's really true grief. You've lost a loved one, or you've lost your job, or you've had serious financial difficulties. How do you deal with that? Do you just let it all go and crawl under the covers and be done? You can't really do that, because if you have children or anything else, you still have to go on. My guest is author Greg Pacini. He's a licensed professional counselor and certified group psychotherapist. Welcome to the show, Greg. So give us your, let's just start with your best advice when you're worried about the big disaster, the big shoe dropping. What do you do about that pre-worry, and then what do you do if it actually happens?
Oh, that's a great question. I think the thing that I can offer that would be most helpful is something in the book called Reading the Edges. And the idea is that emotions are designed to guide us, not hurt us. And we often want to push away from the strong emotions. But when you do that, they push back and then you get stuck. So the idea is to go through, and the beginning of going through is noticing the edge. What happens, I heard the last segment, when you get stressed, you release cortisol. Cortisol is a hormone that sets off a change of chemical reactions in the body, and essentially we lose oxygen in the brain, it goes to the arms and the limbs, we can't move forward, we get stuck. So the first thing to do is to breathe deeply. It's a simple thing, everybody talks about it, it changes the chemistry. But you notice the edge of the emotion. If you're deep into emotion, it's hard to change it, the body has already shifted chemically. So the idea is to learn, oh, I'm starting to feel afraid, I'm starting to feel down, I'm starting to feel real angry. Notice the edge of that. The sooner you notice it and you separate yourself from it and watch it happening as if it's someone else's emotion, you create a little gap in there between yourself and the reaction. And in that gap, you can make choices to feel something else.
You can make choices to feel something else, but what if you feel out of control and you don't, and it's not something that you can control? You're going to lose someone, you're going to lose your job, whatever it is. What happens? You've separated yourself a bit, you've looked at it from the outside, as it were, and now it actually happens. What do you do?
Well,
how do you get yourself out of that little hole you feel like you want to crawl into?
Again, this is a really good question. A lot of people deal with that. There's nothing wrong with the emotion, and the sooner you notice it, the better off you are. If you're in that really dark place, it's virtually impossible to just pop yourself out of it. But with practice, noticing what happens to your body, your hands start to sweat, your ears get hot, your stomach starts to flop around, noticing that that's what happens to you when you're really worked up, you start to pay attention, oh, I'm starting to have that reaction. You can then decide, okay, I have a right to feel angry, sad, scared, this is really impossible. Honor it. It's absolutely part of the journey. There's nothing wrong with it. But eventually you get tired of being in those emotions. And usually what happens in the beginning of a really traumatic event is that we pack away the tough stuff to deal with what life is asking of us. You know, appointments to get to, talk to the insurance company, find somebody to clean your house up because a tornado just took your roof off. You're dealing with those logistics. The emotions get put away. It's fine. If they never get unpacked, there's going to be a problem. And the idea of reading the edge is noticing when you're starting to have a reaction gives you the ability to go through it and eventually shift it, because you just get really exhausted from feeling all that hard stuff.
You do get exhausted, and sometimes people say it's enough already. You've been grieving for a while, or get another job already, or whatever the problem is. What is the parameter of grieving time for whatever the tragedy happens to be? I mean, there's a lot of people right now that are very upset, Greg, about this lion, and they're feeling it emotionally. They're feeling it physically. How long is enough when you say it's enough already? Move on to your life.
Right. As a therapist, I hear people in here grieving for years after the loss of a loved one or even a pet, you know, a lion. It's a national treasure. People say to them, you got to go forward, you got to move on. But everybody's timeline is different. There's no parameter that sort of you can just use as a cookie cutter for this is what's appropriate. So honor what you feel. But I think it's Churchill who said, if you're going through hell, keep going. In other words, you don't want to get stuck in an emotion. allow yourself to feel it. Actually, when you allow yourself to feel it, you come out the other side a little more quickly. And when you notice what's happening, you become choiceful, and rather than just having a reaction to the emotion like, I'm going to do something, you know, that I'm going to regret, when you step back and go, I'm really angry, you get the oxygen back in your brain, and you make choices that actually move you in the direction you want to go.
Absolutely. And now what if it's something very sudden? And as you say, Churchill, this is not the end. This is not even the beginning of the end, but it is perhaps the end of the beginning. So you have to say to yourself, I'm moving past that beginning, that initial thing. What if it's very sudden? What do you tell people about dealing with tragedy that happens with no warning? So they can't have gone on to the edge. It's not something they were ready for or planned for or were worried about. It's just happens.
Right. You get a knock at your door that your child has been killed in an overseas war.
God.
Your spouse has died in a car accident suddenly. There's no time. The book has a chapter called Packing, and it's preparing for the journey. Sometimes you have subtle kind of cues that, you know, I'm going to get some bad news from my spouse, and she tells you at the breakfast table or he that I've fallen in love with somebody else. So you had a gut sense that it was coming, and you're emotionally preparing even though you not be conscious of it. In situations like the knock at the door, the phone call of a spouse, there is no time to prepare. In those moments, you have the right to feel whatever you feel. You are going to take a next step. Usually the system tends to kind of, there's this upheaval, this unbearable kind of reaction initially, and then the system kicks in with this packing process. We often call it kind of suppression or denial. That's actually a useful tool that sort of nature gave us to get through those impossible days. Eventually we start to thaw, we start to feel the emotions again, but in the beginning when it hits us so hard and we're incapacitated, sometimes we just shut down completely and we need hospitalization or we need really serious help. But usually there's this shutdown and then we kind of come back because life keeps knocking at the door. We start to take steps forward, and then the emotions, as we get stronger internally, as time goes on, the emotions start to revisit us and we're like, oh, I'm still really angry about what happened. And that's the time to start reading the edges.
That's the time we start reading them. So we have about a minute left. Your best advice for people that are dealing with tragedy or feel that impending sense of doom that may or may not be reality, but they feel that impending sense, what do they do about it? And really just your best advice for getting past it on the other end and seeing the sun come out again.
Okay. There's a book called Dune, and in it the author says, I am not my fear. I see it's coming and it's going, but I am not my fear. Fear is only a part of us, but when we're really steeped in it, it feels like the whole world. But the truth is, in that same moment, each of us is capable of trust, of love, of courage, of hope, of disappointment, of all sorts of things. So the idea is to be aware that you are not fear. It's only a part of you.
Great, great advice. And your book is called, tell us the name of your book.
Journey Beyond Hardship.
Journey Beyond Hardship, and the website is journeybeyonddiagnosis.com, yes?
No, that's the first book, journeybeyondhardship.com.
Oh, journeybeyondhardship.com. What a wonderful topic that is, because we all need a little help getting through some of those cloudy days. But the sun does come out. It really does. And usually things will work themselves out. So dealing with it is the first best step. If you missed any of the great information that we give here, you can listen anytime on demand or on the go at RadioMD.com. Share these shows with your friends. That's how we all learn together. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks so much for listening, and stay well.